from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Good to have training camp upon us here in your city, the Flower City. Happy to be a part of it. Talk some Bills, and a great way to ring in the new year is
we used to go to camp, guys, and like the last few years, you could write with a Sharpie marker the starters and most of the backups at every position. I can only do that at a handful of spots this year.
Players reporting at St. John Fisher University for duty. Where will your eyes go first when training camp practice begins tomorrow?
Mike Danger.
We'll watch practice and, you know, we'll take away what we can take away from it, the players who make plays, the players who don't make plays. But the thing I'm going to be paying attention to is who's bringing the juice.
Gene Battaglia.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of these camp battles. Because now it comes into focus, like what will be our day one storylines. So we got to wait until Wednesday for all the news portion of this.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
And a very good afternoon to you. As we welcome you on in to Rochester's only local sports talk show, it's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. We appreciate you tuning in at 95.7 FM, AM 950. We sound our best in the free-to-download Odyssey app. You can hear us on your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan. And we've got the video stream up and rolling. You can watch the Sports Bar on our YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester and also streaming on Twitch at The Fan Rochester. By this time tomorrow, Gina, we'll be broadcasting live from St. John Fisher University for the start of Buffalo Bills training camp.
Yeah, it just crossed my mind. Like, the next time we're actually in our new studio is going to be next Wednesday. Because we're out there tomorrow, Thursday, Friday. Okay. We come back Monday, Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And then finally they get a break there on Wednesday of next week. Back out there Thursday. And then we're already in August there for the blue and the red scrimmage on the following Friday.
That works out, actually. When you break it down for us, it'll be a nice little break there right in the middle of our nine-show schedule.
Nine times.
As we're broadcasting live from St. John Fisher starting tomorrow. So, yeah, that little break there a week from tomorrow, we'll break it up nice and even right there in the middle.
Yeah, so Derek, our engineer, doing a fine job getting things over there, getting us set up, and look, if you are lucky enough to get over to Fisher, watch the Buffalo Bills, don't be a stranger. We're by the Pelicano Pavilion. We're in the Pelicano Pavilion, and if you make your way around there, you'll be able to find us.
And let me also say a big thank you to our sponsors, our partners, the people who make this possible for us, the people that keep us at St. John Fisher, that keep us in the Sports Bar. Partners like Ace Swim and Leisure, their Chilai Ave and Ridge Road location, Webster, aceswim.com, Maddie's Motorsports, Gino, Farmington, Spenceport, Dansville, maddiesmotorsports.com. I mean, we're not doing this without the help of our sponsors, our partners. We appreciate your support, and they appreciate your support.
Yeah, absolutely, as we are here to help commerce, Danger. That is our purpose.
We've got a great show lined up for you here, our final show in studio before we head to Fisher for tomorrow's show tomorrow afternoon. We'll talk some fantasy football later this afternoon and lots of intriguing storylines around the NFL to get caught up on with Michael F. Florio from NFL Network. Can I just call him F moving forward? I think I'm just going to call him F.
Or maybe just MFF.
I like F.
F.
What's up, F? I think you can get away with it. I think I can just call him F.
Or you do this with like a really close friend. Like, that's the middle initial. Hey, it's Michael F. and Florio.
Yeah. I think guys do. Women don't do this as much as guys do. We default to the last name. So, you know, when we say, who we got on with us today? Well, we got Perino and Florio. But if we say Florio, I think a lot of ears perk up. Like, you got Michael Florio? You got Mike Florio? No, not that one. This is Michael F. Florio. But I'm just going to gloss him as F. If we're going to talk fantasy football, let's talk fantasy football with F. Michael F. Florio stopping by at 425.
The F man. One of the storylines I want to ask him, because if there is one piece of video that sort of went viral from over the weekend, hey, there's Patrick Mahomes throwing deep to Xavier Worthy. Wow, this is a sign of things to come, blah, blah, blah. I think the storyline isn't about Xavier Worthy from a fantasy standpoint. Maybe it is, but where are those targets going? Are you still trusting in Rice? Can you still pencil in Travis Kelce at this advanced age in his football career for the same production? Did you see today? This is funny. Not only is Kadarius Toney still on the team, but Andy Reid has a new idea.
Running back.
Yeah. What the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
Really? You can't understand where to line up, and that way in the in the running back position you can't be offside.
Yeah, he might still find a way to screw it up if he's in the backfield. But you know, that offense is one for fantasy purposes that has always been productive and one that you want to target. So we'll get F's take on the Chiefs coming up here at 4:25 later this hour. Yeah, Perino, Matt Perino, Syracuse Post Standard Shout Podcast. We'll get him on, and this will be his first Tuesday of many Tuesdays to come where we talk Buffalo Bills with one of our favorites.
To my knowledge, Matt is not in town yet. I think, like, if you are coming in from Buffalo, you're probably getting up early tomorrow. Some of these guys, they actually get dorm rooms out at Fisher.
Yeah.
Like, you and I could do that, and like the comfort of my own bed.
I agree, although there is something about the idea of being there early, just getting up, rolling up. You know, early, not having to drive for you or I all the way across town. Not that it's a massive commute. It's not. It's not that bad. But, yeah, the guys from Buffalo that do shack up there at the dorms, living the dorm life. Matt Perino will be one of those guys.
Yeah.
Every
Matt,
day.
He'll tell us he's doing a Rochester appearance. He'll tell us about that. So the Shout Podcast. And, yes, it feels like football season if the great Matt Perino will be joining us here shortly.
866-4326. If you want to join us in the sports bar, 855-866-4FAN. If you want to pull up a stool, we're also on Elon's Twitter. That's X at the Fan Rochester. The table is set, Gino, with the Bills reporting to St. John Fisher today on a day where it appeared.
Well, I was just going to say, they're reporting today.
Yeah.
Are we really sure these photos are from this year? Because all we have to go off of, hey, here's Deion Dawkins with a duffel bag. Hey, here's Josh Allen trailing his suitcase. Like, somebody in the Bills PR department, like, yeah, you know what? We didn't get the photos. Just dig up last year. The move-in photos.
I saw some fresh video. At least I believe it was fresh video.
How do you know? I'm playing the role of you.
Yeah, I think, well, you don't really know. I'll say this. Allen maybe looks a little bit more wealthier this year than he did last year.
How do you figure that out?
A good sign for wealth is guy who doesn't wear socks. Fancy shoes, no socks. Wealth.
Guy who doesn't carry his own baggage. Suitcase. I did see Josh Allen in this photo they're showing.
Yeah, he's lugging.
He's lugging.
But he's lugging in shoes that are fancy without socks. Pretty good tell that you're doing all right for yourself. No socks guy is... No socks guy with... Like, it depends. It's a rich man, poor man thing. If you're no socks guy with like a beat up pair of sneakers, bad. If you're no socks guy with like a fancy pair of shoes, and I'm not a shoe guy, so I don't know what would qualify as a fancy pair of shoes, but not a pair of sneakers, just something fancy. And I'm not saying like a pair of Docksiders. You're like just fancy shoes, no socks. You're doing all right for yourself. That was Josh rolling up today. I don't know why I noticed his feet. I don't know why I noticed the shoes he was wearing. He was lugging, though. He didn't have somebody doing it for him. He was lugging his own stuff.
If you had to guess, any Buffalo Bills player or team executive on the course at Oak Hill right now?
Oh, please.
That dumb quiet.
They probably have the entire course to themselves this afternoon. Are you kidding me? They just have at it, boys. Hack away. Have some fun. We'll hopefully get the chance to talk to Brandon Bean tomorrow, and if we do, we'll ask him how he shot today. How about that? we've got what looks like movement between the NFL and the NFLPA on something that I think all of us as fans want to see happen, and something that when it happened a couple of years ago, when the new CBA was released a couple of years ago, we all kind of felt, well, it's not a matter of if, but when 17 games becomes 18 games.
We all know why the owners want to make this move. I mean, in order to make more money, you have to create more content and ask your TV partners, your streaming partners, for a little bit more money. And by going to an 18, and also you get the gate receipts, you get everything that comes along with going with the 18 game. But why are you making this ask now? I think, Danger, that there has to be a trade-off. They just can't mandate it, right? You have to ask for something. And the thing they're kind of teeing up is, hey, veterans, you really don't like this off-season program, do you? Oh, yeah, training camp. What if we scaled that back, too? I'm just wondering if that's part of this. Why is this story coming out today?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons, and you're not wrong. I think some of that, and there's an opportunity here for the NFLPA to get to score some concessions from the NFL. And we've already heard of some of those concessions, things that they might specifically want to see change moving forward, including playing surface, that off-season schedule that you mentioned, roster size, practice squad size. I think the timing of this also coincides with the big L that the NFL took a few weeks ago with that verdict and a potential settlement of $14-plus billion. Now, that's still hung up in the courts, and we don't know what that number is going to be, but it feels fairly certain that the NFL is going to have to pony up a large chunk of change for their Sunday ticket settlement. And the easiest way to make up for that loss is, let's add another game. Let's add another two games. Why not go to 20 eventually? And maybe they will eventually. I don't know when we see this actually come to fruition. The current CBA runs through 2030, but there is nothing that's stopping the two sides from getting together and saying, you know what, in 2026, we want an 18th game, and here's what it looks like.
Yeah, and if you're the Players Association, like any, you're going to listen, and then you're going to come back with what you want. And again, if I am a player, if I'm a player rep, if I'm heading that union, I'll just bring up the name Whit Merrifield. Who's Whit Merrifield? He's a baseball player. He was good. Now he's not. He was batting under 200 under the Mendoza line. And so what happened this year? Well, entering this year, he, as a free agent, he signed a one-year $8 million contract with Philadelphia, the Phillies. He was batting 199. The Phillies moved on. They cut him.
Mm-hmm.
This is the NFL. You cut him, you're not seeing the remainder of that $8 million. But in Major League Baseball, everything is guaranteed. You know, the roster sizes, Gene, they're so much bigger in the NFL. Okay, that's fine. The revenue is also greater in the NFL. So I, for the life of me, can't understand why NFL contracts are not guaranteed. I understand why the owners are fighting that tooth and nail, but you've seen it rarely. You saw it with Deshaun Watson. You'll see it maybe with some of these quarterback contracts that'll be coming down the pike. But for everybody else, that's the ask. Hey, you want 18 games, let's kind of come up with a model, and that will be a non-starter here, but if I am a player, I want my money.
Yes, you're also going to ask for an additional bye week, which I feel like will be a given if they do go to 18 games, and then I wonder about whether or not the NFL becomes more like the NBA with load management, because it's a grind. 18 games plus the postseason can be taxing. And this is a league that not too long ago spent a lot of resources on sharing a message of player safety. I threw that out the window. We want more games. And we'll give you an extra bye, but we expect you to play in all those games too, by the way.
Well, and also part of this is that their minor league system, I mean, college football, if you're on a top program now, look what's going to happen. You go from 12 games to the 13th game, the conference championship game, and then it was a 14th game with a bowl game. No, no, no. You're good enough for the playoffs. That's 14, 15, 16. You're close. Like, the rookie wall shouldn't be a thing. Like, if college football is kind of getting these guys conditioned, if college football can go to a max of 16, why not the NFL at 18?
It'll be interesting to see what the timeline looks like here, but we at least hear from the Washington Post with NFLPA Executive Director Lloyd Howell specifically mentioning that that they are working towards that. They have begun to have conversations working towards an 18-game schedule. And I think the dream that most of us as NFL fans have always had was Super Bowl Sunday on that Sunday before a national holiday.
I would love it if they went back to the old. It won't happen because Labor Day weekend is a bomb when it comes to TV ratings, but you're our age, Danger. That's when the season opened up, Sunday, Labor Day weekend. It was fantastic. And then, hey, I got the next day off. Somewhere along the line, that got changed. So, let college football have it. That's great. No problem. The idea of a the idea that we could have a President's Day where you have the football and you could just kind of relax the next day. I'm also wondering that part of this, too, is, hey, this is great if you're a Bills fan. This means we get to go to one extra game or, you know, in the new stadium. That's no. I think every team every year is going to be forced to go play in some location where they want to grow the market.
Yeah.
You're going to be looking at games in Europe every single week. You're going to be hearing about games in China or Australia or wherever that is. That's also part of this, that that's where the growth is. Go outside the borders. And as part of that, will we get a London Super Bowl? Well, nobody wants that. The time difference, blah, blah, blah. Well, what could help is actually, hey, we know it's going to be on at this odd hour, but you know what? You got the next day off here with the new 18-game schedule.
Yeah, we'll kind of keep tabs on that here. And I think that they are kind of connected, that, you know, the timing of this does coincide with the teams reporting to training camp and also coincides with what could be a historic settlement for the NFL to pay out here in the Sunday ticket trial.
See, I don't want to make any more bets with you, but like, we get to this point next year, this isn't resolved, right? The NFL is going to appeal, and they're going to appeal, and they'll kick it. Their lawyers are not going to pay this out.
Oh, I'd be surprised if that's resolved. I'd be surprised if they have resolution on an 18-game schedule. I mean, that feels like that's a pretty aggressive timeline. We might not get it until the end of this CBA, which runs through 2030. They can go in and negotiate anything between now and then if they want to, but you know, they could also let the CBA run through 2030 and present a brand new CBA in 2030 that includes the 18th game with the additional bye, and maybe by 2030 they've got the court thing settled with the Sunday ticket as well, and we as fans are getting something different in terms of how we actually can consume the product that they're putting out there.
Well, I don't think the NFL is in any trouble with the Sunday ticket thing, because you know what would be the telltale sign if they were in trouble? Expansion. Like, Major League Baseball keeps kicking it around. National Hockey League is heading this direction. The NBA is just waiting for LeBron to be done. That's my opinion. Because once he's done, they'll hand him a franchise in Vegas, and then it'll be Seattle and everybody else fighting for the other one. What about the NFL? I mean, you're an owner. Wouldn't you love to get that payout? Like, you're talking like minimum $5 billion for coming in. That would be the quick and easy way. Like, okay, two teams are in, we'll use that money.
Another topic of conversation here is more teams report to camp, and you've got a handful of contract issues. We talked yesterday about the Jordan Love hold in Green Bay, which makes sense when you realize that he was set to make $10.5 million this year. We got into a debate last night. Me and the boys were all hanging out, and we're having wings, and we're drinking beer, and we're talking NFL and chopping it up, and I guess I view Jordan Love through a different lens. Gino, what would you predict Jordan Love's deal looks like? Do you think Jordan Love breaks the bank, resets the quarterback market? Do you think Jordan Love's deal is potentially the most lucrative in the NFL when it's all said and done?
Well, that's why I've heard this from Rome and others saying, hey, this is going to get done. But you think about it, well, the agent's going to ask for that. And Jordan Love, the last six, seven games last year, he was as good as anybody. statistically, everything else, every other metric. But is that a big enough sample size to go break the bank? And in my opinion, the answer is no. And if I'm taking this from the Green Bay standpoint, I don't want him to reset the market. They might just have to on this one.
Okay, but what about what's going on in Miami? What about Tua?
He showed up today.
Right. And he's doing everything the right way, and he's had statistically a couple of really, really good seasons. Not eight games, two full seasons statistically of pretty. The Dolphins have not pulled the trigger on that Tua deal because they know what it's going to cost them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still a hesitation when you consider that Tua went 1-6 against teams with winning records last season, that he threw eight touchdowns to seven interceptions in those games against teams with winning records, that the Chiefs basically beat Miami in that frigid Tundra Bowl by daring Miami to throw the football, and his QBR in that game was 15.3. Like, is Tua just a stats guy that can put up numbers for the regular season and pad his stats with some amazing performances versus the performances against teams that actually win?
Pointing to that game, you know what would have prevented that game, actually? And they beat the Buffalo Bills in Week 18. You don't beat Buffalo, you're doomed. Ultimately, if you don't win that division, think about how different it might have been here for the Miami Dolphins. If they had beat Buffalo, they beat Pittsburgh the next week, and then they get Kansas City in the warm weather. But that's all irrelevant. All I'm saying, Danger, is they can't get over on Buffalo.
Right.
So if it ends
or any
up,
team that has a winning record, it
yeah,
would appear.
But until they get by Buffalo, all that is just, yeah, you're going to be on the road in a place that's not very favorable to you.
So you've got the Love situation. You mentioned Tua. Brandon Ayuk is reporting to Niners camp, even though he's requested a trade and is looking for a new deal. And then you go to the New York Jets.
Which, does anybody fault the player on this? The story, Hassan Reddick, great pass rusher for the Philadelphia Eagles, entering the last deal, a year of his deal. I want a new contract. Philadelphia, we really can't do it. You're traded to the Jets. Okay. So the Jets obviously want to give him a new deal, right?
That's usually how it goes.
That's how
you make the trade. Your new player comes in, and you give him the contract that he's looking for to make him happy. And
this is malpractice for Douglas, the GM, to make this move. Like, hey, you're in New York now. Look at our team. Look at our defense. He still wants the contract. Nobody can fault Reddick. This is what he told his former employer, and now he's not showing up. And I'm sure that his teammates are going to be like, okay, you take care of your business.
Yeah.
It's just another chapter.
These NFL GMs, man, I really think a lot of them, the good ones do a great job of giving the appearance of control. But I don't know that any of them actually have control, or at least the control of a sane person. Woody Johnson's probably still in people's ears saying, no, don't spend there, spend there. Give this guy what he wants. Give this guy, don't do that, do that. Like, they're crazy. Mike Brown speaking yesterday was a reminder to me as to why we should be thankful that we don't hear from Terry Pegula. Because these billionaire owners start talking and you listen to them and you're like, oh, yeah, they're dysfunctional. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, they have people to take orders from them, and this is how they've led their whole lives. Back to the Reddick, you know, situation. You would kind of assume that Philadelphia, once they realize, okay, we really aren't going to pay him, let's call around and see who might be available. Brandon Bean talks to every team. I would like to think that Brandon Bean had the conversation with the Eagles and then knew everything that went into it and thought, yeah, as much as I would love to add him as a pass rusher, we can't really, with our cap, you know, the way it is right now, afford this. So how many other teams might have passed? But enter the New York Jets. So Philadelphia got what they wanted out of the deal.
Yeah.
It's not like you can go back here on the deal.
Howie Roseman usually gets what he wants out of the deal. He's a good NFL GM. Or at least he, again, gives off the impression that he has some control. He and Lurie probably just work very well together. They just get it done. And it always seems to work out in Philly's favor. Here's another case where they get what they want. And Hassan Reddick, the player, disgruntled, not showing up to camp, doesn't have a new contract, wants that new contract with his new team. And you've got this circus. You've got a circus environment with these distractions. Whether you're talking about Love or even Ayuk showing up, it's still a circus because the contract isn't done.
No.
Not with the Bills, man. The Bills are no drama. I don't know. There's really... I mean, our storylines are nowhere near as salacious as some of these other teams.
No, the storylines tomorrow be fun. Hey, there's Keon Coleman catching a pass. Or look at the pass rusher. Hey, here's this player we weren't even talking about. They're showing up. Matt Parrino, he is primed and ready to go.
That's right. We'll talk to Matt Parrino, covering the Buffalo Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard. He joins us next on The Fan. You can join us anytime this afternoon at 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Bills players today reporting to St. John Fisher University. First practice coming up tomorrow. Chris Brown on One Bills Live today on the positional battle many of us think we'll be watching.
You're still going to probably carry six on your roster. So now, where the rubber really meets the road is where you got upwards of nine guys fighting for two roster spots. When it gets tight and the supply outweighs demand, that's when it gets interesting in training camp.
Talking about those wide receivers, Matt Parrino, Syracuse Post Standard, and the Shout Podcast. He'll be coming into town. He joins us next year on the Sports Bar. Subway Series resumes tonight in the Bronx, Yankees, and Mets. All the action in the majors under the lights tonight, including Paul Skenes on the mound for Pittsburgh. as they take on the Cardinals. Rochester Red Wings home tonight as well. They take on Lehigh Valley. Dean Battaglia and the sports leader, The Fan Rochester.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Matt Perino covers the Buffalo Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard. Always joining us on a Tuesday to talk some Buffalo Bills with camp tomorrow. Matt, I want to know first and foremost what you're looking forward to watching, and you can't say the wide receiver battle.
That's a great question. You know, it's kind of under the radar, and it's not like, you know, a headline grabber, but I'm really interested in Dwayne Carter, the interior defensive lineman. Like, I want to see him when the pads come on. You think about where one of the strengths of the Buffalo Bills team is at, and I think you can make an argument that, you know, McGovern, Edwards, Osiris Torrance on the interior, when Carter gets a chance to go up against that line, two of the three are returning starters. Edwards started for a Super Bowl team a couple years ago. We're going to learn a lot about him, and he's so vital to their defense. Like, their defensive line is one of the most important storylines we're tracking. You talk about the interior being the group that really could help solidify that unit with some questions on the edge. To me, Carter is the key to keeping Ed Oliver fresh all season long, and he's going to be that backup three technique. I feel like that position has been the one that the Bills have been looking to find for years with free agents, right? Like, they've added guys like Tim Settle, you know, Jordan Phillips they brought back, who could kind of be a quasi three tech nose tackle. Now they've invested a day two pick in a guy that they're going to develop. He's pro ready. I want to see what that looks like when the pads come on.
Yeah, so many storylines that we'll be seeing tomorrow. One of them, Matt, and again, I don't know how to judge what we see out of some of these players that have been dinged. You know, Matt Milano right at the top of the list. What about Von Miller, who, you know, certainly is battling back? How do we evaluate tomorrow, this week, these veterans? Because sometimes, whether it's McDermott or any other coach, they'll slow play this. So what are your thoughts here on Von Miller, Matt Milano, and some of the other guys that are returning here from injury?
Yeah, I mean, as much as Matt Milano did in the spring, if he rolls out there tomorrow and he's participating in team drills, like all go, I would be surprised. I still think that there might be some work off to the side. But if he's there, I think that if you're a Bills fan, you're excited about that, because he's not only on schedule, but maybe even a little bit ahead of schedule, and a better chance to have him ready for week one. And that the excitement around him and Bernard, I mean, it's so high. I mean, people around the league are talking about this tandem. And then with Von Miller, you know, I don't think there's any restrictions on him. Like, I think that we're going to see him, and I think it's going to be evaluating him every day like we did in 2022 when he first got here. Like, is he that guy? Again, the Bills kind of have constructed their roster to the point where they need him to be. There's a bunch of guys, especially on the offensive side, that have been a little bit dinged up in the spring. You know, Khalil Shakir left the practice late. Ty Johnson and Ray Davis weren't participating for, I think, 2 weeks of OTAs and then minicamp. You know, that's I put out five position battles that we're watching, tracking here, and one of them was running back too. You know, Ray Davis has got to stay healthy if he wants to stay in that race, because Ty Johnson looked really good down the stretch last year, already kind of has a head start in this offense, although they've tweaked it a little bit and obviously a lot of new concepts. But yeah, across the board, especially with all the new pieces that are in there, the best chance you have at winning some of these battles is staying out there.
Matt, preview the safety battle for us. It'll look different this year because we won't see Poyer. We won't see Hyde. You've got the rookie in Bishop. You've got a new face in Mike Edwards. You've got Taylor Rapp, who appears to be the incumbent. You have DeMar Hamlin hanging around. And, oh, by the way, Micah Hyde hasn't officially retired from the NFL. How do you see all of this playing out in that Sean McDermott secondary?
Yeah, I think you laid that out right and well. I think Taylor Rapp is the guy that is going to be the safety one on this team. They gave him a 3-year deal, $10.5 million, half of that's guaranteed. They like what they saw of him last year. He started 4 games. They got a sample size. They know that they could be versatile with him. He could play in the box. He played that dime role last year. Next to him, when Sean McDermott was asked about Rapp and, you know, the leadership role that potentially he's taking, The next guy he mentioned in that same answer was Mike Edwards. So I think that he's the odds-on favorite as we break camp to be that second safety. He projects into that Micah Hyde role. He played big-time snaps for the Kansas City Chiefs last year in the Super Bowl and a couple years ago in the Tom Brady Buccaneers Super Bowl for that team. So he's got playoff experience. He probably part of the reason he wanted to sign here was a chance to earn a starting spot. And the tough part for Cole Bishop is getting up to speed fast enough to really get in the mix in this competition. And, you know, we'll be tracking it when you're out there at practice. Where is Cole Bishop? Does he line up on the second team? Does he line up on the third team? Like you mentioned, DeMar Hamlin. If Mike Edwards is healthy, where does that put all these guys? I expect Bishop to be on the second team, and then we'll kind of track it to see if he gets bumped up to the first at some point, maybe starts to outplay some guys. The thing that he has going for him is the size and the athletic profile that I don't think a lot of these other guys have. So if he can flash some of that, make some plays, show that it's not too much for him, that he's and who knows, like in these 6 weeks between minicamp and training camp, if these guys can, you know, show that they're in the meeting rooms, they're doing the Zoom calls, they're talking to their coaches, they're learning the system, and they come out and show real progress, that to me is where I feel like you take the biggest jump. And the guy that reminds me the most of a situation like that was Osiris Torrance last year. Remember, everybody had Ryan Bates as the guy that was winning that job when we started training camp, and Torrance shut that thing down pretty quickly. I think he jumped to the first team within the first 4 or 5 days, and it was all but over.
Yeah, we're talking to Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard Shout Podcast. He's going to be coming into town doing an appearance. We'll tell you a little bit about that as well. Matt, as far as players on this roster, I can only come up with one. The variance being, you know, if everything goes right, he could be a starter. Maybe he doesn't make the team. I put DeMar Hamlin into that category just because, well, last year you couldn't see enough. There is competition. If special teams is the tiebreaker, maybe they like Cam Lewis better than that. But give us your thoughts here on DeMar Hamlin, because last year I kind of view that as we need to just kind of get him right. And now it's about football, and it's a cruel business, but your thoughts on Hamlin and his chances of making and contributing for this team?
The reason I think that he's pretty close to a lock for me to make the roster is because he has more snaps in this defense under Sean McDermott than the rest of the safeties on the roster combined. Mm. He played almost 1,000 2 years ago. And I know what happened, 2 years ago in the against Cincinnati. And I know that last year was a lot of first getting back in the right spot. But by all accounts, you know, he's back. He's had a great spring. He's looked explosive. He's looked fast. He made a couple plays in the spring. And it's just going to be about adding on to that. And I think he's a guy that plays special teams. He's always been willing to do that. And I think in a pinch, without Micah Hyde here and not knowing what that truly that conversation is like behind closed doors, or even what the Bills, how they view it, he's always in kind of their back pocket, but maybe it's more of like a November, December call than it is an August call. If you don't like what's going on early on with these safeties, giving them a chance to get into the season, seeing what you have. And I think having DeMar Hamlin is a little bit of a safety net, because you know what this looked like with him back there. And if everything is checking out athletically, physically, all those kinds of things, then I think he's an asset. And I've liked his mentality too. Like sometimes, you know, first of all, that instance that what happened to him in Cincinnati, it's unprecedented, right? To come back from that, to have that happen, and of course on such a big stage and everything like that. But it's like the mentality to fight through all of it last year, all of the first, and then come back refreshed this year. Like, he's attacking every day and every practice so aggressively. I like the spot that he's in, and I think that he's in a really good spot to make a run at the roster.
All right, we do have to talk about the thing that I think will get the most eyeballs at training camp, and that's the wide receiver battle, Matt. I mean,
you told me not to talk about it.
I said I didn't want to hear about it right off the top, but I think I know where your head is at with this as far as who you have is in your locks to make the final 53. I've got at least four of these guys that I feel like are going to make the team. you might be higher on Matt Collins. I want to see it. You got the chance to see him during the offseason. You know my thoughts on Chase Claypool, pretty well documented. Break it down. How do you think these final two positions, two or three positions at wide receiver, get filled out here when we finally get to see these guys starting tomorrow?
Yeah, right. Like you got the top three there in Shakir Samuel and Keon Coleman. I think Coleman's going to get pushed a little bit. Like, you know, if you think about it, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he's been a guy that's been a starting receiver in this league for many years, played with elite quarterbacks. I don't know if he's a true boundary X receiver in terms of what they're going to ask Keon to be, but he's going to push him, I think, in camp for those snaps. He's going to have to earn it. He's going to have to show that he can be in the right spot, his blocking assignments he understands, and that's an area of Scantling, Valdes-Scantling's game that's pretty good. The Matt Collins piece is, listen, I think everything that you get from him in the offense as a receiver is a bonus. I think he's a leader. I think they love him in the room as a veteran that's been in a bunch of different locker rooms. And if you go back to his one season where he really excelled, you know, there's a little bit of juice in there. Like, I think playing with an elite quarterback like Josh Allen, you know, you're going to get the best version of Matt Collins. And I think that's why I'm a little bit more bullish on Chase Claypool in that spot as well. The wild card to me is KJ Hamler, because we saw the big time potential of what he can be on that 150-yard bomb in minicamp week, and it was from Josh Allen. And he is, when he was healthy as a second round draft pick, he can do a little bit of everything. You can line him up on the boundary. He can run out of the slot. He's almost like a little bit more of a seasoned boundary guy than Curtis Samuel, even. If you go back and look at Samuel's history, he's played predominantly slot since 2020. But in 19, Samuel played, I think it was like 65-35 on the boundary for the Carolina Panthers before Brady got there. So he has a little bit of that in his bag. Hamler, I don't know if he's ever been that high, but he can do it. And I think that when he won on that route, he was either on the boundary or running a similar route that got him there. So I'm very interested to see what Hamler looks like. And it's almost like we've gotten to the point in the summer where Shorter and Shavers, who we were talking so much about pre-draft, have kind of fallen to the back of the race here. And I think both of those guys have a very upward trajectory towards making the 53, because, you know, there's so many veterans ahead of them, and there's some issues. I mean, I was unimpressed with Shorter's hands during the spring. He'll have to demonstrate consistency in that part of his game. And then, you know, Shavers, it was more so just a lack of explosive plays. And that could change this week, right? We get the pads on in a couple days. He goes out there and makes a play or two and completely changes the conversation. So that's what this part of the season is for. All the talking and all the projecting is about done, and we're going to get some real stuff to talk about over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, it's finally talking football with Matt Perino. Camp players reporting today, first practice being tomorrow. Another storyline I'm sure that you and others are going to be looking at here. The two new coordinators. I'm calling Brady a new coordinator because he wasn't in this position last year. But Bobby Babbage, how does he kind of take over? At what point, if at all, does Sean McDermott kind of hand over the reins? Matt, I'm just curious to see how McDermott last year, this time McDermott was actually had his sleeves up on that side of the defense. Now, does this allow McDermott to do some other things? What about that that storyline entering camp here?
Yeah, it's never, you know, it's never been like this with two super green coordinators. And I guess you can't really call Brady green, because he had this opportunity in Carolina. You know, he's had it here now. He had the, you know, it all thrown on him in an interim basis, and now he's coming in as a full OC, but they're still very young coordinators. When Ken Dorsey took over, you had Ken Dorsey, the first time OC, but Sean McDermott still had Leslie Frazier running the defense, you know, a very seasoned guy before that, obviously Frazier and Dable. So this is uncharted territory. And to your question, like, how soon does Babbage get the green light to take over? I don't know. I think that they're going to have to battle it out, and he's going to have to prove it a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if one of the marquee attractions of this training camp is watching Brady and Babbage duel it out in the 11-on-11 periods and seeing how Babbage does in those spots and how the defense performs with maybe him calling the defense? And does he give Handham over the reins in the first preseason game? In the second preseason game, to me, that's even more interesting because you'll have the starters playing for at least a quarter in that game, and that's when you can get a real sense of what it's going to be like on game day. So I think this thing is going to go all the way up until that point. I think Sean McDermott is going to avoid painting himself into a corner with any kind of decision. And it's going to be fluid, too. It can be fluid. Maybe they arrive on something where we get to the season, and McDermott's to the point where it's like, yeah, I'm going to let Bobby call the defense until we reach a point in the game where I feel like I have to take it over. He's done that in the past, and maybe as Bobby's getting kind of used to that, I don't know if it's ideal, but that could be something where maybe they arrive on something like that. I don't know.
And Matt, I feel like we've scratched the surface, and we could continue to just go through and talk player by player, position by position. I know it's not the sexiest of position groups, but the offensive line is going to look different this year. No Mitch Morse, obviously. Another guard starting next to Deion Dawkins. He's never had a guard start a season, for consecutive seasons through his career. So David Edwards now in that role. And the guy that I think the glue that holds all of it together is Aaron Cromer, who is probably a pretty significant resource for Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator. Talk a little bit about what our expectations should be with that offensive line, an offensive line that stayed healthy last year and did a really good job.
Yeah, I don't know if you can have the expectation that they'll be as healthy as they were a year ago. Right. I mean, that was – you go and look at – I pulled up some PFF advanced stats the other day, and 12 offensive linemen played 950 or more snaps last year, 12. Five of them were the Bills starting offensive line. So just think about that. Only 7 offensive linemen in the league played as many snaps as the Bills, each of the Bills starters. It was unprecedented. So I don't expect that to happen again. But to your point, yeah, Cromer's huge for this offense, the running game. I think you can attribute a lot of the success there last season to his influence in that part of things. And across their line, to bring back the continuity of 4 or 5 starters, I know it's going to be a big departure from what they've had there in Mitch Morse. And in a sense, even though Connor McGovern's played the position before, it's a little bit of an unknown. So it's hard to project what that's going to look like. But I think that there is a veteran on his left side in Edwards, and I think that's a benefit for Dawkins as well. You're not having to onboard a rookie Mitch Morse talked about bringing on Osiris Torrance last year. He was so good and probably more advanced than most rookies, but there's just those rookie moments, especially as you go through the season. I think if you're getting an uptick from Torrance at right guard, you got Spencer Brown in his fourth year and now kind of a quasi-veteran in a contract year. There's really, you look across that offensive line and there's none of that having to deal with young player mistakes. Now, you know, Torrance isn't going to be perfect, but if he makes the jump to like borderline Pro Bowl level and you get the kind of play from Edwards that you saw in LA a couple of years ago and everything else is the same, you're talking about one of the most cohesive and maybe the best offensive lines in the league, especially in the run game, which I think is so important to helping Josh Allen in this passing game as they kind of onboard all these new players.
You know, we're talking to Matt Perino, Syracuse Post Standard Shout Podcast. We're coming up on the year anniversary, Matt, in danger for that matter, August 7th, 2023. Matt, you know what happened that night? You were introduced to our finest cuisine here in Rochester.
Boy, here we go.
Talbot says he's boy. In. A, Gene, I'll try it again. B, you know what? Talbot's in. I'm going to come, but I'm not going to eat this year. But you and Ryan knock yourself out, and I'll be there for the camaraderie. Or C, no, I'm out altogether here. Matt, what do you think here? Because we're going to set this up with Talbot.
I'm somewhere in between A and B. And I think what's going to happen is I'll commit to the outing, but I'm going to play it by ear when it comes to actually ingesting any of that stuff. So let's see. We'll see what we do pregame. Maybe we get a couple drinks in us, and I'm feeling a little bit froggy. But even still, I might have memories to last year and might not be able to do it. But we'll see. Anything's possible in the Rock during training camp.
We have to really strategize here, Gino, because, I mean, think if we had a flaw in our strategy last year, and Parrino, you know.
Well, because he's coming off the appearance.
Playing with his food there when we were getting the garbage plate. And I can't blame the guy. He was just at wing, you know, had wing nuts served to him during his live pod. Now, you guys are doing that again this year, correct? Same location there on Park Avenue?
Yeah, same location, August 4th. It's going to be an all-day event. So if you're going out to practice, we'll be heading over there around 2 p.m., a couple hours after. Get yourself, you know, a little break in between being out in the sun, and then we're just going to be hanging out on the patio inside. They open up that whole area there outside of Dorado. Wingnuts is coming, and they're going to they're bringing double the amount of wings last year.
There you go.
So there's no chance of them running out. I think they went through like 1,600 wings last year. And they're going to double that this year to make sure everybody can try the greatness that is Wingnuts.
Yeah, see, I went to Matt's. Now, this was going not this past April, but before, and I can say those wings are good. How, I just said hot, like where on the level of hotness would you recommend here, Matt? Like give us kind of your scouting report there. And
your go-to from Wingnuts. Yeah.
So they have, I think they have like, 15 to 20 flavors. The wing nuts flavors are three different ones. So there's signature, their wing nuts medium, and then their wing nuts hot. The wing nuts medium is hotter than most hots, and like the hot is like a suicide type of wing. So I think you want to kind of stay away from that, unless you really got that kind of game, and not everybody does, and that's okay. And then they have buffalo specific sauces. So if you're more of a traditional buffalo wing kind of guy or gal, you can ask for like buffalo mild, medium, or hot, and those are more of your typical wings. And then they have all these fun flavors like a sriracha barbecue, a honey mustard, lemon pepper. There's all different kinds of stuff. It's a smorgasbord. It's a wonderful time.
Love it. Can't wait for it. And in less than 24 hours, you'll see our smiling faces. They're standing around waiting for Sean McDermott to crack a mic. Matt, it's that time of year. We're excited for it. Looking forward to seeing you and seeing you. We'll share a turkey burger in the media cafeteria tomorrow. What do you say, pal?
Sounds great to me, boys. Can't wait.
Right. Thanks, Matt.
Matt Parrino, covering the Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard, stopping by the sports bar, giving us a little preview. What he's looking forward to seeing at Bills training camp starting tomorrow.
Yeah, it's interesting how I... Am I off thinking that like Damari Hamlin really has to earn a spot on this team?
Well, I think if you listen to the coach and believe what the coach says, everybody has to earn a spot, right? We also heard Matt Parrino say, look, Keon Coleman's not guaranteed anything as far as playing time. And he's got Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who could be that boundary guy that Coleman maybe was drafted to be. But he's gonna have to earn it. Anybody's gonna have to go out
there
and earn
it. Well, you know, you look at Sean McDermott with rookies, and you know, Tre'Davious White being like they were barren of talent. Really, they were when McDermott came in. So I put that to the side. But even last year, like Dalton Kincaid, they barely used him in the month of September. Look where they ended up. So that's also part of this. But on the other hand, he brought up Osiris Torrance. He was fantastic last year in camp and was a big contributor right out of the gate.
And even with, if you look back at Trey White's history, I mean, like, yeah, he was out there right away. But it wasn't great right away.
No, it goes kind of a little bit, I guess, with the position. But, yeah, there were some games that were like, ooh, that doesn't look good.
It wasn't great right away. So, you know, what's your risk versus reward in terms of, you know, giving a rookie that kind of playing time or giving somebody who's been around like Hamlin that kind of playing time, knowing that there might be a liability to that action or there might be guys better suited to be playing in that role? I do like the point, though, that he has more familiarity with that defense than anybody else in that secondary, that he's played more of those snaps than anybody. So he can kind of play the role of that field general if needed that is left now with both Hyde and Poyer moving on. Great stuff from Matt Parrino. It all gets underway tomorrow. We will be live from St. John Fisher starting at 3 o'clock. Reports and updates throughout the day as well here on The Fan Rochester. Mentioned Sean McDermott. He'll speak to the media tomorrow before practice. That's right around 8:30 or so. So we'll have plenty of thoughts on what the Bills head coach has to say if you're listening to the Sports Bar this time tomorrow. On the way, we've got more in the Sports Bar. And Gino, I know that you obsess over the bets that you and I make, the friendly wagers that we have. And there's one that's been weighing on you heavily because
it's going to be a continual storyline. And I guess anytime I hear an expert that's going to say something in my favor, I'm going to point this out. So I've got that coming up. And also, what is the sporting event for people who don't like sports?
Oh, my daughter's excited to watch the Olympics this weekend.
That would be it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so actually I have a take on the sporting event for people who don't like sports.
I know that we're probably a month or so away from our bold predictions show for the 2024 NFL season. I'm going to sprinkle one out there. Maybe this makes the cut, maybe it doesn't, and you might hear it and be like, that's not even bold. I don't know. I've got a couple, actually, that I want to share next.
You can fine-tune. You can use these as warm-ups before we actually nail down our bold prediction.
Okay. Well, the thing with me is when I hear something and it sticks and it resonates with me, it's hard for me to let go or fine-tune. I'm like, nope, that's what's going to happen. Mm. I feel like this is what is going to happen with a specific team in the AFC. We will get to that and more next, and we have time for your calls if you want to pull up a stool. That number is 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.